Girl, Chime is back. This is all about the fee-free banking. Can you imagine?
I mean, I could have used this back in the day. Girl, like, what a racket. The fees are just crazy, and Chime is fee-free banking built for you.
Not to mention, they do a rewards thing, so Chime members can benefit from up to $1,150 in annual rewards fee-free.
And direct deposit unlocks the most rewarding way to bank at Chime.
Right, and you're not switching banks, fam. You're upgrading to America's number one choice for banking with a Chime checking account.
Plus, you get premium travel perks like airport lounge access.
Oh my God, you know I can't live without the airport lounge access.
You know, and a 24/7 travel concierge included with your Chime card.
Yeah, you get savings that grow faster with a 3.75 APY. Fam, that's 9 times higher than the national average.
Yeah, we're doing it and we're not doing it with fees anymore. It's
exactly
enough already.
So fam, Chime is not just smarter banking. It's the most rewarding way to bank.
Join the millions who are already banking fee-free today.
Head to Chime.com/TCO.
That's Chime.com/TCO.
And fam, it only takes a few minutes to sign up.
Yeah.
So go do it and bank fee-free.
Like, we're not doing fees anymore.
I know.
Over it.
Chime is a fintech, not a bank. Banking services for MyPay and Chime Card provided by Chime's bank partners. Optional products and services may have fees or charges. Stated annual percentage yield and cash back for Chime Prime only. No minimum balance required. Checking account ranking based on a J.D. Power survey published October 20, 2025. For more information on APY rates, MyPay, SpotMe, and travel perks, go to Chime.com/disclosures.
Girl, the gays can't even have Grindr anymore. Like, we have one nice thing, and we can't even have that anymore.
Happy Pride. June 2nd. It's already ruined. Hello, Patrick Hines.
Fam, we have a Discord. Tell
we
them
do.
Everything.
It's a Discord server.
Okay.
There are a bunch of channels on the server, and we hang out and we talk about true crime stuff or not true crime stuff, and there are all these different channels, and everyone's really nice.
Yeah.
And it's just a fun little party.
We also have a Facebook group. It's the True Crime Obsessed podcast discussion group on the Facebook. It's highly moderated. It's super fun. People love going in there, talking about the episodes. It's a great place to go and just like meet other true crime friends and, you know, hang out with us a little bit.
Hang out.
Yeah.
It's just a party all around.
It's a party all around. Speaking of a party, what are we talking about today?
Oh, God.
I know.
It's called Faking It. You know that series, Faking It? We've done this before.
Yeah.
It's from the UK, but Faking It, the Grindr Killer Scandal. It is on HBO Max.
This is one of the most shocking cases of serial murder in modern times.
He killed 4 men.
For years, Stephen Port had been taking advantage of the anonymous world of gay hookup sites like Grindr and FitLads.
Stephen messaged me, "Hey neighbor, come over and meet my new guy."
And drugged 7 more, raping 4.
The police missed every single opportunity to catch him.
Shocking, in fact, almost unbelievable that the case was handled so poorly by the Met.
They just thought that Jack was gay and a druggie and that was it.
Stephen Port is incredibly immature and childlike, and the web of deceit is like an X-rated version of Jack and Ori. It's beyond belief.
That sick, twisted scumbag will never be able to hurt or destroy anyone else's family or life.
Just to get us started, can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
What is going on with these experts? The lady who's great, they're both great. We need all the people doing all the things to get the people. But like the body language expert, am I a body language expert? Like when you got a killer, in an interrogation room who's shaking his leg and the body language expert wants us to know that only he, the body language expert, can tell us. And if he weren't here, we wouldn't know that the shaking of the leg implies that the killer who's being questioned about the 4 murders that he almost got away with is feeling stressed.
It's a little fluff. Like this Faking It series, like this story is super important to be told. They all are. We did Grace Mullane and but you know, they have to be introduced like superheroes, like the Watcher, the this, the that. And like sometimes I'm into that, but sometimes it's a little bit like you're stretching to get the 45 minutes.
But this is a good episode. I really like this episode. So we open in Barking, East London. It's September 12th, 2015. It's 10:22 a.m.
The CCTV footage may look routine, but it's deceptive. The tall blonde man has just bought illegal drugs.
It's not cannabis or speed. It's GHB, a well-known date rape drug.
which is a known date rape drug.
Yes.
And now the voiceover is like, it's not cannabis, it's not speed, but GHB. Excuse me.
Please, running down the list of all the known gay drugs.
Please do not put cannabis in the same category as speed.
Or GHB. Like, oh my God.
Like, that is a very different thing. Can everybody lighten up? I know it's 2015, but my God.
And it's pride.
We've been smoking weed since the beginning of time.
It's true.
Give me
now,
a break.
Now we're eating it. Out of tins.
It gummies.
Exactly.
Please.
So it's September 13th, 2015, 2:50 a.m. It's 16 hours later after this piece of shit bought the GHB. This guy meets another man at the train station, and one of the cameras shows the other guy's face. This guy's name is Jack Taylor.
He's in his early 20s. He lived with his parents. He was a forklift driver.
I was like, okay, Jack.
Yeah, he was on Grindr.
Hang on a second. Jack the gay forklift driver?
Jack Taylor.
With Jack.
Like, what kind of name is that? Jack Kelly?
Exactly.
Newsy?
Oh my God. But like the gay
the best way, that's
forklift
complimentary.
Driver from like East London, Jack.
I know.
Jack.
I know. He's gay. He's on Grindr.
Yeah.
And that is where he met a piece of shit named Stephen Port.
Yeah.
So Jack Taylor was drugged with this GHB awfulness, and then he was murdered. And right at the top, we learned Stephen Port did this with numerous men and murdered four of them.
And gets away with it for a long time. So this whole episode is going to be about all of like the very, very, very obvious connections between these dead gay men and how the police willfully ignored it.
Too much gay shit.
Yeah, too much gay shit. We meet Carrie Danes. She's a profiler. I'm going to allow it.
Specialty forensic psychology.
Like, I love her. She makes some good points. She says some things I was not prepared to hear this woman say.
Well, the first thing she says is the police missed every single opportunity to catch him, to which I say, of course.
Of course. She says this is one of the most shocking cases of serial murder in modern times. And it's true. Like, it is so fucking obvious what's happening here. I mean, it's unbelievable.
It's willful ignorance at this point.
Yes. So 1 month later, it's October 17th, 2015, Stephen Port is questioned.
Port's personal computer had revealed disturbing details of Jack Taylor's last hours.
He's now being quizzed on the searches that they found on his computer, using words like boy, drugged, rape.
Why are you searching for boy, drugged, rape?
Just generally looking for general porn.
So this is the type of disturbing material we're finding on his computer, just to let you know.
Also, just like Googling with wild abandon.
And like
can you imagine putting those words into your computer?
Even I won't do that. My Google search history is...
How long does it take for a body to decompose?
Out of context?
Yeah.
I should be on every list.
How long does it take to die having been set on fire?
But...
You should be on a no-fly, which basically you are.
Oh, thank God.
I know.
God, that would just alleviate so... Oh, can't on the no-fly list.
I know. You're on a self-imposed no-fly.
Oops, sorry.
Yeah.
But the point is, hours later, this piece of shit did exactly what he was Google searching to Jack Taylor.
Yes.
So, like, come on.
Girl, ZipRecruiter's back. Look, I used to work for CNBC, and let me tell you, CNBC is saying, managers are now saying that a candidate's enthusiasm about the job is the most important factor when considering them for the role, which I couldn't agree more.
That makes sense.
Yes.
Right? So if you need to hire for your business, how are you going to separate the candidates who are actually excited about the opportunities or the one who are just like, I need a job, any job, I'll take a job?
Exactly. So ZipRecruiter has a new feature that quickly lets you see the most interested qualified candidates first, so you meet the right people faster.
And now you can try for free at ZipRecruiter.com/TCO.
And let me tell you about their smart matching technology, fam. It connects you with qualified candidates instantly.
And they can tell you in their own words why they're interested in your job.
I mean, it's all about them wanting to want it.
Right? Because that kind of works out well for everybody,
exactly.
I think.
Exactly. So fam, use ZipRecruiter and find enthusiastic talent fast.
4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
And now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/TCO.
That's ZipRecruiter.com/TCO.
Meet your match on ZipRecruiter.
Cute.
Cute. So now we meet Cliff Lansley.
Specialty body language.
He's the watcher. This is what I said. Am I allowed to ask, like, how seriously do we have to take this guy?
Then we meet the listener, who's Professor Dawn Archer, specialty linguistics.
Yeah.
And they are analyzing the video of the killer being questioned. And they say that he's minimizing statements with just, I was just looking for just general porn.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, I am beyond guilty of overusing the word just. I notice it so much. It's something I'm actively working on, at least in writing.
Give me an example.
I would literally say, like, I was just looking for, I do it. So when they said it, I was like, oh God.
Yeah.
That is something I definitely catch myself doing a lot.
Yeah. And like, because what he's trying to—
I'm also not a murderer, however.
No. What he's trying to say is like, yes, I understand that this boy was drugged and raped and killed. And that was the Google search that was found on my computer 5 minutes ago. But I didn't kill this kid. I was just looking for porn. I have to say something. Mm-hmm. If this is the kind of porn that you are searching for, you need to have a really serious conversation.
We have a problem.
And I'm not kink shaming anybody. Mm-hmm. Like, do all the stuff you want to do with consent with other people. But like, that is concerning.
Well, and because the operative word here, did I use that phrase right? Is boy.
Yes.
Not man, which one could argue is like a fantasy, whatever. I don't want to get into the kink shaming either. But boy,
yes,
I think very much stands out here and should raise a whole lot of red flags.
Yeah. So the body language guy is like,
and the minimizer of the word just and the double-sided hand shrug, that gesture contradicts the words that you're saying. We've also got the head shakes, 6 micro head shake no's. From only 5 words, just searching for random videos, we've got 7 indicators of deception. This is definitely a lie.
Everything is a tell that this guy does. The way he's holding his hands, the way he shrugs, the way he shakes his head, like, no.
The thing about this is we're going to learn eventually that, like, this is the guy being caught. We're going to go back through, like, the last 14 months of all the things that he did that he didn't get caught for. This guy just got caught. He knows he got caught. I don't know why we need a body language expert to tell us that the serial murderer who just got busted and is, like, shaking his knees is experiencing stress.
Can't string 2 words together, 3 words together to make a sentence. But the expert goes, in 7 seconds, using only 5 words, we have 7 indicators of deception.
Like,
that's 1 deception per second.
We also
says
don't
Dr. Cliff.
Need any of. We got the guy. You know what I mean?
But
by this point, we got the guy. I understand.
I hope his stomach is in his butt.
Oh,
I hope he
God.
Feels terrible. Yes. I hope he's anxious.
You know what? I hope. I hope he feels relieved. I hope that he feels like, thank God they got me, and I don't have to do this anymore.
I'd rather him be miserable.
I would rather him be miserable too. But it's just like
at least it's over. People are safe,
and no one else is gonna die. So they say to him, like, while you were Googling this stuff, you were doing all this while Jack Taylor was dead or dying, and that he, like, is changing the subject, he's avoiding the words, he's trying not to talk about the very obvious thing that they just got him
right.
for.
So then we rewind 16 months, because the cops let this guy commit 3 other murders before Jack Taylor.
Yes.
And the craziest thing is that they first heard about the first murder when Stephen Port, the killer himself, called it in. And then, in my notes, I'm like, wait, now they're telling us the killer's backstory.
Right.
So we'll get back to the phone call. Yes. They drop it in, and I was all ready to, like, take notes on the phone call. Nope, we're going back to learn about the killer.
Not yet,
I guess,
girl.
We'll get back to the call.
We learn.
Stephen Port, when he was young, he was described as quiet, quite shy, a bit of a loner, certainly introverted. He'd gone to art college for a while before training as a chef. Now, he hadn't come out as gay until he was in his late 20s.
I am not defending this man's behavior by any stretch. Mm-hmm. But, like, being forced to stay in the closet and hide who you are and pretend to be somebody else will do a fucking number on
you. Sure.
There is a real epidemic of, like, gay men hating themselves, gay men, like, not being able to be in good, solid relationships because of the way that the world forces them to be. Mm-hmm. And that was this guy's experience.
And, like, look at how many of them aren't murderers.
Truly. This guy worked as a sex worker, like, during his 20s.
While he was living with his parents. So I don't know how, like, hidden this all was.
I love that Carrie, this is just the beginning. He lived with his parents at the time. I imagine that put a damper on his sex life.
Okay.
Though hearing her say some of these words in her British accent is so amusing to me.
Yeah. He finally moved out when he was in his 30s.
Yeah.
Now, Ryan Edwards is his neighbor, and the killer, we are told, was very childlike, especially about his birthday. So Ryan tells this story.
This is wild.
Ryan, the neighbor, was throwing a party the night of the killer's birthday. Not a party for the killer, just a party.
Yes.
And Ryan is like, shit, that 35-year-old who lives next door to me who's super weird about his birthday, like, I guess I should get him something.
But he finds the gift in the garbage.
He finds a toy fire truck for a child in the trash room of his building.
Like, he's literally taking out, like, the empties and finds a toy truck.
Let me say this all again.
Okay.
I want you to really understand it.
Yeah.
Ryan threw a party on this guy's birthday, but it wasn't for him.
No. The guy wasn't even invited to the party that wasn't for his birthday.
At the very end of the night, as a total afterthought. Ryan doesn't want to deal with the fallout of not wishing this 35-year-old a happy birthday because he's a fucking weirdo about his birthday. He took a discarded child's toy.
Probably broken.
Out of the garbage.
Yeah.
Gave it to a grown-ass man who's very weird about his birthday, who also happens to be a serial killer.
Yeah. We don't know that yet.
Right. But he is.
But he is.
And Ryan says,
when everyone arrived in the party, I presented Stephen with this toy truck. He sat down, cross-legged, and would bat the toy truck up and down the floor, just like a child would. He was oblivious to the party going on around him, just like a child presented with a new toy.
Plays with it on the floor like he's 6 years old.
Yes, he's like rooming it back and forth.
And I gotta tell you, that's honestly the least of our problems. Right
it
now.
Is.
Because we're about to learn some really shitty things about him. But can you imagine?
Like, no. Like, and we see a picture of him holding the truck, by the way. Like, he loved this thing.
I have to like appease this 35-year-old who's weird about his birthday.
I know. I couldn't agree more. So we learned that Port the Killer was very active on gay dating sites and gay escort sites.
Yeah.
He had a particularly dark fetish for something called somnophilia, which is a preference for sex with someone who is sleeping or, in Port's case, unconscious.
Now, I think calling it a fetish isn't accurate.
Because I couldn't agree more.
The Dictionary of Psychology classifies it as predatory.
Yeah.
Because the whole thing—
How could it not be?
The whole thing is about power, dominance, control, and most importantly, a lack of consent.
Yes.
So this is not a fetish. Whoever said that, whatever expert said that.
Well, it was Carrie, who I like, and she also says the thing about the person being unconscious, especially as it pertains to this killer, is that, like, the person is, like, quote, not going to judge you.
No, I think that's a cop-out.
Yeah.
I think it's more about the consent. Like, instead of being like, no, I'm not, like, raping them. They're just not judging me. Like, whoa, you're a crazy person.
Yeah.
You want them to be unconscious or asleep? Like, no, this that's not a thing. Fetish. That's predatory.
All of the 10 years, I've never understood this. Like the idea, obviously, it is barbaric and it is, like, monstrous to have sex with somebody. But, like, as the person doing the horrible thing, what is joyful about that?
I don't know. I can't relate.
I'm looking to you in the eyes for answers. Tell me, girl.
Can't
Tell
relate. Me. No, I don't even know. I think all of these people are so miserable. I don't really think there's joy necessarily. I think it's maybe he's like translating it in his head that like, oh, they're not judging me, but like you're raping people.
Raping people.
Like you fucking asshole.
This is where the episode takes one of many left turns.
Your favorite part.
This is my favorite part, hands down. Ryan, the next door neighbor, he's here to be like, and we see all of these pictures of the killer, Ryan's neighbor. He's like, over the years, his hair changed a lot.
Well, he's very, very vain and obsessed with his appearance.
He's somebody who is advertising himself on dating sites. And so, of course, he's going to want to put his best face forward. But unfortunately, he's going bald. In fact, he's pretty much as bald as a coot.
Bald as a coot.
So from theidioms.com, I was like, I gotta know. A coot is a water bird, which has a marking on its head that gives an appearance of being bald.
Okay.
And it has feather. It does have feather. The website wants you to know it's not bald.
Okay.
It has feathers, but it's the way it looks from a distance that kind of gives the impression of baldness. And this phrase has been in existence since 1430.
Oh, it was downright Shakespearean.
Bald as a coot.
The thing about it is that we see all of the pictures of the different hairstyles and they look fucking good. Like I was telling you before we started, I went through a period where I was getting served all of these like male wig options.
I was gonna say, did you say he's wearing wigs? Because they're all wigs.
They're all, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
they're all wigs, but they look good. Like he's got cool floppy hair and it's all different colors and different styles.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there was a time I'm like, should I just shave my head and get my dream hair?
I mean, they're telling us that he's so self-conscious about the wigs. And I'm like, there's nothing to be self-conscious about, you fucking weirdo.
A, there's nothing to be self-conscious about. And
get all the wigs.
It's also just, I don't know. I know a lot of very vain gay men. That's almost all the gay men that I know. I don't know a single one of us that's gone all the way wig.
Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Because I think wigs are, again, not anything to be self-conscious. Like, have fun, do your thing.
But nobody thinks about it for men. You think about, like, maybe a toupee or you get hair plugs or something.
What I was going to ask you was about, do you know anyone who's gotten hair plugs?
Yeah, I do.
Do they look good?
Well, the thing is, the hair plugs have really evolved. And I'm probably going to get them eventually because you go to Istanbul and you get the good hair surgery.
No.
There are literal flights full of men going and then coming back a couple of days later.
Unrecognizable.
You go to Istanbul for the hair surgery and you look ridiculous for like 2 weeks or whatever.
But you can see like the...
No, you can't. Like you can right away because they've done surgery on you. But like I know two men that I can think of, both of them extremely handsome,
really?
Who have gotten the surgery.
Yeah.
So many men get this surgery. I'm totally going to get it as soon as I need
it
which
painful?
Is probably a couple years ago. I would imagine. But yeah, and it's also very bloody and you have to wrap your head in
Come
like in scarves and stuff.
No.
Beauty is painful. pain, girl.
Well, tell me about it.
I know.
I switched from waxing to laser hair, and I do it with the nitrous.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. I told you about the nitrous.
So I've never been happier.
Yeah. Nitrous just like, is the
like,
stuff.
Hey, man.
But the thing is, like, I've seen these wigs. Like, you literally, like, you pull them out of the thing, you put it on your...
Hey, you know, yeah.
And, like, it looks like your real hair. Maybe one day
Moira
I'm going
to
come in...
Rose knows. You got to really take care of those totally. Girls.
I'm going to come in with hair like yours one day.
Okay, great.
And it's going to look natural.
Again, like, wear the wigs. Take care of them. Yeah. Like, they can be awesome, but this guy sucks.
This guy really sucks.
So his mugshot, though, was taken without a wig, and I'm like, oh, he must have hated that.
You know he did.
Good.
Girl, Ritual is back. And look, we all know that there are times in your lives where you can't focus on, like, your nutrition and making sure you're getting all the things that you need. But now you can get peace of mind knowing you can still hit key nutrient goals with a daily multivitamin from Ritual.
Yeah, so Ritual has a team of scientists.
Yes.
And they have pored over thousands of studies, and they've identified the common gaps between nutrient needs and what people are actually consuming.
So simple.
Yeah.
Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus Multi contains 9 key nutrients and 2 delayed release capsules designed for optimal absorption per day.
So it's designed to be gentle on the stomach so you can take it whenever works for you, with or without food. And of course, it has a minty essence.
Of course.
Which also helps make taking your multis actually enjoyable. You know, I struggle with that.
Yes.
So I love that minty essence.
And look, Ritual's Essential, third-party tested for heavy metals and Clean Label Project certified, so you know you can trust what you're putting in your body. That's the whole point of this company.
Yeah, Ritual multis are vegan, non-GMO project verified, gluten and major allergen free, and made traceable. You know exactly what you're getting.
So fam, instead of striving for perfect health, aim for supporting foundational health.
Save 25% on your first month at ritual.com/TCO.
That's ritual.com/TCO for 25% off your first month.
Minty and glowing.
Exactly. Now, this is where my girlfriend Carrie says the thing I was absolutely not expecting.
What?
She says,
port is attracted to twinks. Young men who look boyish, so they tend to be slender, maybe a little bit shorter of stature. They tend to have hairless bodies. So for somebody who has basically seen better days, is now really concerned about the lack of hair.
So if you are somebody who's basically seen better days, like I...
Past your prime.
Not.
It's long in the tooth.
He's really concerned about the lack of hair. I'm like, they are just letting this motherfucker have
good.
It.
Good.
Oh, my God.
Good.
If he watched this documentary in prison and saw the picture of himself without the wig.
Yeah.
And now good. Being described as having seen better days.
And we've all seen it.
Oh, my God.
And we all know.
It's divine.
I hope he's miserable.
Yes.
This actually sort of, sorry to be a wet blanket.
Yeah.
But kind of made me think about misogyny. The patriarchy. Like, if a straight guy was very vocal and honest about how he exclusively wanted to date, like, young, girlish, hairless.
Oh, totally.
Like, you'd say he's a pedophile.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm so sorry to say
no,
that,
truly.
But, like, men can, when it comes to women, can sort of hide behind the fact that, like, they're impossible beauty standards that they have to deal with anyway.
Yeah.
But if there was a man who was like, I prefer them to look as young as possible, hairless, you'd be like, that's fucking creepy.
Well, I will only, in defense of my community, I will only say this.
I'm not.
I know you're not coming for us. It's Pride Month.
Please.
We know. But
Fiona
but,
has her pride leash all year round.
Okay. That's all I ask.
Okay.
For. That's literally all I ask. We are big on our like categories. Like, we've got the twinks. We've
of course,
got
of course,
I used
of
to be a bear, now I'm an otter.
Okay. Yeah.
You know
no,
what
no,
I mean?
No. I under. Heard, understood.
Yeah. There's just chipmunks. Maybe, there's the whole deal.
I gotta try to burn down the patriarchy a little bit every day.
No, because you're absolutely right. If men were like, I'm exclusively into like small statured, you
hairless,
know, hairless,
girlish looking women,
yeah.
Which they do.
Yeah.
And like the beauty industry is all like based in pedophilia, basically. Like
oh,
think
God.
About what they want, like youth based and,
know.
You know, hairless and
I know.
Whatever. Like, I guess I'm part of the problem with my laser hair removal because I just fucking can't deal with it.
It's because you're addicted to the nitrous. That's the only reason you're going back.
Can I tell you what happened, though?
Please.
So I was like, I hated it. It was like, this is, and they're like, oh, it's just like little, it's like a rubber band.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I still don't want that on me a million
no.
times. Are you kidding me?
Right.
So it was like painful and I would go and like suck it up and then the numbing cream does not work at all. Or they make you sit for an hour in a freezing cold office.
This is also like in your lady area, which I would imagine is like very like tender.
It's ever, the whole thing is tender. But
okay. We've gone too far.
They wrap your whole leg, they put this numbing cream on you and then wrap your legs in like saran wrap so it stays put. But the office has to be really cold for the lasers.
So you're just sitting there like, oh, God.
For an hour. The numbing starts working after I leave the office. I don't fit. It doesn't work at all.
No.
And they can only put a certain amount because the Novocaine, like if it seeps,
it'll
like,
kill
can kill you. And
yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
But why? Like I've asked the nurses, like I'll sign the thing.
Let me die.
But like then you sit there for an hour wasting your time, freezing cold, like goosebumps everywhere.
Oh God.
And so one day I've only done it like two or three times. Cause the guys, I think like three times. I have my fourth coming up or whatever. But like, I called the office. I was like, hey, here to make my next appointment. Here's a question. Numbing cream does shit.
Not working.
I hate it. Like, yeah. I want to go, like, the doctor's amazing. Like, boring. Like, not a med spa. Like, a real dude, right? And they were like, well, we can do nitrous. I was like, you can what? And that was, like, never told to me. I was like, I'll do that. I'll do it. No. And then when they called to confirm, I was like, and there's the note about the nitrous there.
Yeah.
So then I go in, and he was like, hey, so, like let's do this.
It's real
and
dark in
suddenly,
there all of a sudden.
Suddenly I'm the dude. I'm so cool. And so, but then I took it. I was like, do it. Because they just let you, like.
Yeah. They'll let you suck it until you die.
And at one point, he was like, take for a second. Like, he was,
We're losing her.
He was like, I'll stop, like rubber banding your leg.
Yeah.
Just like, you don't have to suck in like every 2 seconds. And I'm like, but don't I?
Yeah.
And then, but after I took that, I was like, ooh, this feels good. I was like, in my head, my voice sounded weird. He was like, it's not helium. But in my mind, sounded, but then by the time you get home, I still had like a full work day after.
Oh yeah, it wears right off.
I picked up a nice little lunch from the bodega. I was like, I could do this every week now.
I'm telling you, I went to the dentist that one time where they gave me so much nitrous that I remember thinking I have to stay alive for days.
I'm like,
I couldn't even see. I was in the atmosphere.
And they can't do it on planes because it's like the compressed air. It's like it'll explode or whatever.
Yeah, we but can't have that.
They should be able.
No, you're in a self-imposed no-fly.
But if I could like suck on the nitrous.
We're back on tour, baby.
No pain. I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
I am the dude. I just felt like so fucking.
I know.
Like,
so good. Yeah. I know.
Anyway, I don't know where we were going with this. Oh, the patriarchy. I am part of the problem because I get laser hair removal because my skin's really sensitive and I'm sick of getting fucking irritation on my legs.
Well, you're nailing it. Well, we're with Connor from the Gay Times, and he's saying that
he was portraying himself in a way that he did not physically appear if you were to meet him in real life. So, for example, as someone in real life that is very socially awkward and shy, on apps he was very outgoing and he was very chatty and charismatic to the people that he was going to meet. Now, when you then meet them in real life, it was a completely different story.
Catfishing.
Yeah, well, he's like socially awkward, so on the apps, he's outgoing and chatty.
But he's a total drip in person.
Carrie says he's lying about everything.
He's
God, I know. She says, on the apps, he says he went to Oxford, but like he never mentioned where he works.
When we're lying, can we pull it back for two seconds? You have to go right to Oxford. Can't you split the difference?
My favorite is what his name on the apps is.
What?
It's Shy Hunk.
Oh my God.
That would work on me,
that
by the
totally
way.
That would totally work on you.
That's all I want. Just give me my Shy Hunk.
Yeah.
God. So Anthony Walgate is victim number one. He's from a place called Hull. He was really interested in fashion. He went to London to study. He wanted to make it as a designer.
And he's like outgoing and sociable. He's everything the killer is not.
And wants to be. Yeah. Exactly. So Anthony also worked as an escort to pay for school. But the difference was it wasn't a secret. Mm-hmm. All of his friends knew about it. He was really big on safety. They all knew where he was, who he was with. Like it was a job for him.
Yeah. And so this is how Anthony, our victim, meets the killer.
Because the killer, who's also an escort, pays this guy $800 to spend the night at his house.
Right.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. And so Anthony was assaulted and murdered. And so the next day,
Stephen Port ultimately faked a 999 call to report Anthony Walgate's body. So he pretended to be a passerby who had just at 4 a.m. happened to come across this young man who was propped up against a wall and seemed unconscious. Port had planted a bottle of GHB on Anthony Walgate.
The killer stages Anthony's body outside.
But first, he goes to work all day. Mm-hmm. He killed Anthony overnight, goes to work the next day, leaving the body in his home as though nothing has happened. Yeah, and then he comes home and stages the body outside at 4 a.m.
And he, like, props Anthony up against the wall and then plants GHB on Anthony's body. So then he makes this fake call to the cops. And he's like, oh, I'm reporting this stranger that I don't know, like, pretending to be a passerby.
Yeah, and, like, the 911, it's 999 in London. The dispatcher is awesome.
Yeah.
He's asking all the right questions, like, where are you? And you can hear Stephen Port, like, does not want to answer any questions.
Well, the operator eventually asks for his phone number, and he gets scared and hangs up.
I know.
But then the operator calls him back, and I'm like, how? Weren't you just asking for his phone number?
My favorite part of that, too, is the dispatcher's like, I believe we were disconnected.
Oh, he's like, oh, my God, so sorry. So we got disconnected. Yeah. So real quick, once again, phone number and address, please.
And I also don't understand, like, why did Stephen Port do this? Like, why didn't you just put the body out and then just leave? Why are you putting yourself in the story?
You know, I think a lot of them, that's the whole point, to be put in the story, and they want the cat and mouse game or whatever. But, like, the killer folds so easily all the time. Like, you don't have to be a Columbo or a body language expert to hear. Like, he's mumbling, he's tripping over his words. Like the more questions he gets asked, the guy's a mess. He's incoherent.
Well, and the whole thing is the cops barely investigate at all. And the friends are coming out of the woodwork to tell the cops, no, you're saying he died of a drug overdose. Our friend does not do drugs.
Yeah. Well, I love Professor Dawn, the listener. She goes, I would have thought, okay, this is odd. Let's do a little more digging. The cut to the voiceover. But the police didn't dig deep. And I'm like, cheeky and also shitty. Because then, like...
Well, because the cops just believe it. Like, this is how much, like, the cops hate gay people.
Yeah.
They find a dead gay man with a bottle of GHB on him. They just assume that he died of a drug overdose. Mm-hmm. They don't investigate because they don't want to talk about the gay stuff. And they move on like nothing happened.
And it's also one of those things where it's like, well, choices were made. A dangerous lifestyle. So not only is he gay, but like a sex worker, like they definitely don't care.
They also point out that like his underwear was apparently backwards and upside down. The cops don't question this at all.
Like that should be so many red flags immediately.
Yes.
Like, okay, this guy who called it in is very agitated and weird and can't answer a question and he's incoherent. And then like all of these questions that they should have asked, they just didn't. They were like happy to not ask
anything. They found drugs on this guy. They didn't even do a toxicology on him. They just found drugs on his person and decided that it was a drug overdose.
But yet, they track down the guy who made the phone call, the killer.
Yeah.
They got his number from the phone call.
Yeah.
And when they speak to him...
The officers decided to believe Stephen Port when he changed his story about Anthony's death.
So he says that he found Anthony in his bed. He was dead. And so he panicked and just put him outside like you would do with a used milk bottle.
Now he has a totally and completely different story.
Which is also fine with them.
Reasonable to the cops. So everyone changes their story all the time. What's the problem?
He's literally like, well, he was like a trick I took home and he died in my bed and I freaked out and I didn't know what to do, so I just put him outside.
Because remember, first he was a random passerby who didn't know anything about anything.
Yeah.
And now... his story has changed, and he actually did know Anthony, and Anthony was in his bed.
And one of our experts says to us, like, this is another red flag. You should know that if the person who calls in the dead body then changes their story, that's, like, clue number one that they fucking did it.
Hello?
Right.
So they charge him with obstruction of justice, and he's out on bail. And then he's, like, off their radar. And we're told this is a massive, massive failure by the police.
And they say they were so close. This is, like, the Jeffrey Dahmer of it all. They were so close right there. If they had just gone and, like, looked at through his stuff, if they looked at it on his computer, they would have seen all of his fake profiles.
The laptop is right there. The Google searches.
And then all the, like, this was victim number one. The other three men would not have had to have died if the cops had just done the bare minimum of, like, this known red flag of what killers do.
Yeah.
They could have gotten the guy right there.
See, America, it's not just us. It's literally the entire global system of policing.
It's true.
It's all bad. Burn it all down.
Girl, Helix is back. Do you want to talk about your midnight lux or should I talk about my midnight lux?
I'll talk about mine.
All right, tell me
You know, I like toss and turn. I don't like really like, oh, I'm a back sleeper. I'm a this sleeper. So I took that Helix sleep quiz and I put my preferences in and Mike's preferences in and they sent us the midnight lux and it's working for everybody.
Yeah, it's like a total upgrade from whatever you're sleeping on right now, fam, if it's not Helix. I tell you, I get into my Helix every night. I say this every time we do one of these ads. It is like slipping into a warm bath. I'm so happy to be in bed. I'm asleep instantly. I sleep all the way through the night. great. It's my favorite thing ever.
They also have cooling upgrades.
Yes.
So you can get your best sleep even on hot nights, which you know is very important.
Listen, they've got free shipping and seamless delivery. They've got this 120-night sleep trial and limited lifetime warranty.
And they have the Happy with Helix guarantee.
Yeah.
It offers a risk-free, customer-first experience designed to ensure you're completely satisfied with your new mattress.
They want to make sure you love it, fam.
Yeah.
So fam, go to helixsleep.com/TCO for 20% off site-wide.
That's helixsleep.com/TCO for 20% off site-wide.
Make sure you enter our show name after checkout so they know we sent you.
That's helixsleep.com/TCO.
Girl, Girdles is back. I'm telling you that we have switched. We are completely a Girdles household. Daisy gets to have mac and cheese one night a week. It is now only Girdles.
Same in my house. And it's so cute because all of the boxes are really bright and colorful.
Yes.
So the pantry looks extra cute.
Oh my God, you're right. They're so cute.
But more importantly, Girdles just dropped their newest flavor. So excited about this. Wild, wild pesto. It's everything you want in a pesto. It's rich. It's creamy. It's tangy. It is perfection.
And Daisy loves it. And fam, every serving of Girdles mac and cheese has protein, fiber with prebiotics, and vitamins and minerals from real plant sources. Like, imagine sneaking that into your kid's mac and cheese.
Yeah, they're also Clean Label Purity Award certified, meaning Girdles has been tested for over 400 contaminants and meets the highest standard. I didn't even know there were 400 contaminants.
Well, and get this, there's amazing flavors, but there's also something for everybody because they've got vegan and gluten-free options.
It's, I love Girdles. And also, I never thought that like pesto could be a mac and cheese.
I know.
I'm so in.
But here we are.
Love it.
So fam, trust us, you need to upgrade your mac and cheese to Girdles. We know you'll love it.
Find the new Wild Wild Pesto flavor online at Girdles.com.
And you can pick up so many of their products in stores nationwide, like Target and Walmart, plus many other major grocery stores and retailers.
You won't regret it.
You won't.
Pesto is always a good idea.
Truly. So June 20th, 2014, the night after Anthony's body was found, we learned that this guy was in the background of this like big TV show called MasterChef.
Celebrity MasterChef. MasterChef is Gordon Ramsay.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So then like Celebrity MasterChef in the UK, like we're suddenly watching Celebrity MasterChef. I was like, did my computer glitch? Like what's going on here?
And we're seeing the killer in the background. Like he's in the kitchen.
He's in there and no one has any idea.
He literally killed the guy the night before.
He's like just on the television show.
That is what is so wild to me is that like you commit a murder and then you're just out in the world.
Out there.
Yeah.
And so, like, begging to be caught, basically.
Yes. And also, like, this guy was just so sloppy. You know what I mean? Like this wasn't even, like, he was, like, a mastermind killer. Like,
no.
He was so sloppy, the cops just didn't care.
Like, breaking news, they rarely are the mastermind
killer.
Never. Like, very rarely.
Yeah.
So, August 2014, 8 weeks after Anthony Walgate's murder, the killer's out on bail. And now we learn about Gabriel Cavari, victim number two, young man in his 20s, are we noticing a trend?
Yes, he moved to London from Slovakia. He'd been living with another friend in London, but he left that place to move in with Stephen Port.
The killer.
The killer. And now we're back with Ryan, with the neighbor with the garbage gift.
Yeah.
Ryan says, Stephen, the killer, texted me and said, come over and meet my new guy. And so he gets there and he meets Gabriel. He's like, Gabriel's smart. He's cute. He's very funny. He wants to be an artist. I really like this guy. The second Stephen Port leaves the room, Gabriel, who's been living with this man for exactly one day.
Gabriel then kind of in hushed tones leant over to me and said, Stephen Port, Ryan, is not the person you think he is. He's not a nice person.
He's like a total monster.
Think of how dire the situation has to be.
Yeah.
If you're telling this to someone you met 30 seconds ago.
And you've not even lived with this man for 24 hours.
Gabriel is desperate for help. I mean, that is terrifying.
I was trying to think about the situation that Gabriel must have been in to have moved in with this guy in the first place.
Well, I think that's it. He feels trapped. And he's like the only, I mean, he doesn't know if he can trust Ryan, but Ryan is better than this fucking psycho.
Because like within like the 12 hours that they've been living together, what has he already done to this kid that's making him say this to Ryan, the stranger neighbor?
Exactly. So then I guess the killer comes out of the bathroom and they can't talk about it anymore. So Ryan, the neighbor, tracks Gabriel down on Grindr.
Now, this is just gay texting. Like,
yeah.
I love this so much that he's like, I didn't get his number. Let me just brink. He gets on Grindr.
Right.
There's Gabriel and he starts DMing him on Grindr.
And he's like, look, if you don't want to live with him, you're more than welcome to crash here. Quote, for a couple of nights. Don't make yourself too comfortable, Gabe. I'm kidding. Ryan the neighbor offered and then followed up.
Yeah.
But I just love that he was like, yeah, for a couple of nights. Like, there's an end date here.
Yeah. But like the next day, he messages Ryan again. He's like, girl, are you coming over or what? No response.
Yeah.
So now Ryan is like, goes to the killer and he's like,
I messaged Stephen just to say, is Gabriel okay? And Stephen replied to me to say, oh, Gabriel's upped and left. I think he's gone to stay with some army guy. And I thought that was a bit strange. And tragically, that was the last I ever heard of Gabriel.
And that's the last I heard
of
him.
He just packed up in the middle of the night. As mysteriously as he arrived, he left.
Yes.
Like, bullshit. So by August 28th of 2014, Gabriel has been missing for 5 days.
Yes.
Now, his body is found in a churchyard 400 yards away from where Anthony Walgate was found. Like, what a coincidence.
It's in the neighborhood. Like, he's in, he looks like the other guy that died 400 yards away.
Yeah.
It's in the exact same neighborhood. The cops come, they think it's just another dead gay drug addict.
So Anthony, the first victim, had GHB on his person. Yeah. Gabriel had a lot of GHB in his system.
Yes.
The cops, of course, don't see how this is similar, and we know exactly why. One, gay shit, and two, like, useless drug addicts, whatever,
it's
air
just
quotes.
Like, if two people die within 400 meters, yards of each other in a small neighborhood.
Both involving GHB.
Right, and even if there was no obvious connection, which in this case there were so many, you would still have to be like, what the fuck is going on here?
I think they knew, they were just actively not doing anything about it.
Yeah.
You can't, I mean, it's ridiculous that you wouldn't
two
be like,
young
could
gay men,
it be?
I know.
They're just like acting like there are no connections there. But I think in their heart of hearts, as they say, they know.
Yeah.
They just don't want to deal with the gay shit. Because if there's more than one, then they have to talk about gay sex and all this stuff. And
it's
they don't want to do it.
So crazy. And so when the police do nothing, Gabriel's friends take to social media. God love the, get yourself a group of friends.
I know.
And they, on social media, they find a guy named John Luck. And they realize, however they do, that John Luck had interacted with Gabriel online a couple of days earlier. So remember, Gabriel's been missing for 5 days.
Yeah.
This guy, John Luck, has been interacting with him on the internet. And of course, unbeknownst to them, this is Stephen Port the killer.
Right.
John Luck is Stephen Port.
One of his catfish profiles.
Exactly.
So the friends are asking this guy about Gabriel, and like this guy, this rando, who they're just like messaging online, like
yes.
they don't know each other. So it's telling him all this crazy shit. Like,
he's aware that Gabriel was involved with older men who would give him drugs, and he's been to orgies with various other young men, and he may have been drugged and been rendered unconscious and then raped.
And then he says, well, he was probably drugged and then raped when he was unconscious. And the friends are like, I'm sorry, who are you again?
Jesus Christ.
Like, how do you know all this? What are you saying to us right now? Why would you even say that to us?
Right. And so Port, as John Luck, when the friends are like, well, our friend is actually dead, he feigns surprise. And then he says to the friends, do you think the police will want to talk to me as my DNA will be on him?
This guy's confessing. He cannot wait to tell everyone about it and get caught. He wants to be caught, desperate to be caught.
It's almost like he was put in the world to show how awful the cops in this area are.
For sure.
You know?
So now it's 13 months later. It's October 2015. And the killer is finally questioned about Gabriel. Dude is stressed.
Yes.
Folded arms, fist clenched.
We're back
to the back and forth.
Body language guy is like, I'm the only one who can tell you what this means.
Yeah.
He's acting very tense. He's rocking back. His arms are crossed. These are signs of... like. I'm like, sir, what are we doing? What are we doing
I
here?
Know. And also the word just, I get it. Some of us say it. And some of us are working on it. And like, I'm sorry not to sound like a total grandma, but don't do the crime if you can't do the time. Don't make it so obvious that these are connected and then sit there like an anxious wreck. Like, that's what they mean when they say that. If you can't, don't do the crime if you can't do the
time. And then Carrie's here to be like, well, he says no a bunch of times, but the last two no's are kind of quiet. I'm like, what are we doing?
Guys, shut up.
You guys, thank you for your service, but what are we doing
like,
here?
Enough.
Let's just tell the story of these fucking gay men that were killed.
Right, and how shitty the cops were.
Yeah.
And, like, getting the killer. So now we're back to September 14th. Sorry, everyone. The timeline, they keep jumping around.
Yeah.
But it's they say on screen 3 weeks after Gabriel's death, it's murder. I'm going to say murder. They say death, but it's
100% murder.
So then we learn about Daniel Whitworth, who's victim number three. Very similar. He met the killer online. They were talking for about a month before they meet up in real life.
Daniel was ultimately also killed and placed in the exact same place as Gabriel's body in the same churchyard. He was found by the same dog walker who had found Gabriel Cavari just 3 weeks earlier.
The exact same spot. They say the same spot in the churchyard.
And
like they leaned it up against the same gravestone.
And the same dog walker.
Oh my God.
Found them.
Oh my, can you imagine being this dog? You're just out.
I have to move. I'm cursed. I have to move.
You have to move.
Everywhere. Am I like death suddenly? Am I the Grim Reaper coming with the thing?
It's also just like another young, good-looking, white gay guy found with drugs on him in the exact same spot found by the exact same person. I see no connection here.
But this time, there's a note.
Yes. Oh,
part
my God.
Suicide note, part confession, all bullshit.
Yeah.
So we got to break this down because it's absurd.
Yeah.
The note basically says, as the victim, this is in like from the victim allegedly writing this.
Yes.
The killer wrote it.
Yeah, yeah.
But the note basically says, I'm sorry, I can't go on. I took the life of my friend Gabriel, now connecting two murders.
Yes. And taking responsibility for Gabriel's murder.
We were at a friend's house. We were partying. We got carried away. I gave him another shot of GHB. I didn't notice while we was having sex that he had stopped breathing. First of all, how do you not notice? Second, that's this guy's, quote, fetish.
Yes.
I tried everything to get him to breathe. It was too late. It was an accident. I'm blaming myself for what happened. I can't face my family. I can't go to prison. But at least now I can be with Gabriel again. I hope he forgives me. And then he writes literally BTW.
Yeah.
BT dubs.
Did he really write BTW?
He literally wrote BTW, like the letters BTW.
BTW, please do not blame the guy I was with last night. We only had sex, then I left. He knows nothing of what I have done.
But don't look at him. He's not relevant. Why would you bother in a suicide note to point out something that is irrelevant?
He knows nothing of what I've done, and I dropped my phone on the way here. It should be in the grass somewhere.
I know. My favorite thing is, like, the cops are like, this sounds like exactly what happened.
Sorry to everyone. Yeah. Love always.
Yeah.
Daniel.
You know what? We figured out who killed the other. This is it. We can go home early tonight, guys.
Never have I seen a more authentic piece of paper.
It's Shakespearean.
They are definitely not connected, even though there are about 17 similarities. What is it, 501? I'm out of here, fellas.
They literally believe every word in the suicide note. They believe it all.
Like, anything involving GHB is like kryptonite to them. They just, it's truly insane. This guy has gotten away with 3 murders. And at this point, he's like, damn, seriously? Fine, I will literally direct you to me again.
Yes.
He's like begging the cops to catch him.
Girl, hers is back. And fam, if you're feeling stuck trying to lose weight, you are not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers.
Yeah, everything is 100% online through Hers. So you can connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If you're prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. And guess what? No insurance necessary.
So fam, you know I've been on these GLP-1s for like 3 years now. And with Wegovy at Hers, you can lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite. It helps you eat less and keep weight off.
Also, Wegovy is the first ever GLP-1 pill for weight loss, so there are no needles needed if you're scared of needles.
Yep, and even better, fam, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget if eligible.
Yeah, you'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed.
Yes, it's weight loss designed to work with your life. So fam, ready to reach your weight loss goals? Visit forhers.com/TCO to get personalized, affordable care that gets you.
That's FORHERS.com/TCO.
FORHERS.com/TCO.
Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS.
To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit FORHERS.com. So we're back to October 15th. It's 13 months later. Stephen is formally being questioned about Daniel's murder. The body language expert wants us to know that the shaking leg is implying stress.
It's all the same thing. He's wringing his hands and he's a nervous wreck.
I know. But now,
and he should be.
What has happened in the interim is that the case has finally been turned over to like the bigger police authority or whatever. They're like, this is too big for us. 3 bodies in the exact same location, all found by the same dog walker. They all look, we cannot figure this out.
And they're gay.
You guys know
they're gay, right?
So they turn it over. He's being questioned about the suicide note. Did you write it? He's saying no.
Shaking like a leaf.
I love the cop being like, you telling the truth, Stephen?
He's like, yeah. Why? Who's asking? And they're like, totally believe you. Oh my God.
Because it's worked for him every single time.
Are we keeping you, Stephen?
Oh, and then this was a bombshell. We learn the 3 murders that happened within 13 months of each other. Neighbor Ryan, who lived next door to the killer.
The fact that there was one young gay man found dead in Barkingtown Center was, you know, extraordinary enough. And then when there were 2 and there were 3, again, amazingly, completely unaware that these events were occurring just meters from where I lived.
He knew nothing about it. So not only did the police not investigate, there's no press coverage of any of this. And Ryan is here to be like, I was fucking shocked. Like, wake up one day, like, because now it's on the news, to learn that 3 bodies had been found in Ryan's backyard, in the churchyard across the street over the course of 13 months, and nobody in the community knew anything about it.
It's crazy. So March 23rd, 2015, the killer is in prison for lying about Anthony Walgate's body.
The first one that he like was like, he died in my bed and I moved him outside.
Right, because remember, he called 911, then said he was a passerby, refused to give his phone number. They found him anyway, and then he totally changed his story.
Yes.
And then the cops were so weirded out by two dudes in bed together that they were like, all right, stop talking about it. Right. We get it. We believe you. God. Yeah, yeah. So the killer's away for 2 months. He gets out and almost immediately meets Jack Taylor. And now we're back to the beginning of
the documentary. This is where we started. So victim number four, Jack Taylor, they met September 13th, 2015. Jack was killed, drugged with GHB, left in the churchyard, same as the other three victims. We're now four victims in the same churchyard.
He is begging for the cops to connect it.
Yes.
Because even like the killer at this point is like, are you seriously not going to come find me? What do I have to do?
It's almost as though the cops want somebody out there killing gay people.
Almost as if.
You know.
Wouldn't be the first time.
So the cops, again, don't connect the murders.
Jack is found with a syringe and a needle in his pocket. But this is an immediate red flag to his family because they know that he was not just not a drug user, he was anti-drug use.
He was not a drug user. She was like, he was drugged by force. The needles and drugs were planted on him.
They were, yes, because they found the needles in his pocket.
She's like, there's no fucking way. Like,
no.
No. So she tells this to the cops, quote, they discarded it. She goes, they just had none of it.
No, and so there's that CCTV footage, which is what we opened with, where we see the killer and Jack walking from the train station. And Donna is like, you've got to release the CCTV footage and see if anybody knows. That man is obviously the killer. The cops don't want to do it.
They don't.
And they only do it because she basically forces them to. And it's only when they release that footage that another cop sees Stephen Port on the video. And he's like, that's the guy that we questioned in that other murder. Wait a second.
Wait, oh my God. What?
Yes. And had it not been for Donna, like the connection never would have been made. This is the only way they're able to start connecting the murders.
Yeah. And we've been with Matt. He's like an independent auditor guy who's like here to be like, here's like a bird's eye view of what the cops did and what they should have done.
Yeah.
But he's not giving the cops any fucking flowers for this because he's like, the cops should have connected the 1 million very obvious dots. Like, if Jack's family didn't push for this, we wouldn't be here. So no flowers for
you. And like, how many more people would be dead?
Like, you don't get your credit for finally doing your job 16 months late. Shut up.
No. So October 4th, 2016, the trial begins. And we learned that Port had a lot of surviving victims. So like, men that he drugged and raped but didn't kill. And a lot of them came forward to testify and they were saying that like,
and it was very brave, and it really was what helped Port get convicted, because ultimately we didn't have the testimony of the four murder victims.
Their testimony was so helpful because they obviously don't have the testimony of the dead gay men.
Sure.
So these guys were there to speak basically on their behalf.
It was really, really important and awesome that they all did that. It must have been terrifying.
Yes.
So the killer gets life in prison. He will never be released, we're told.
Yeah.
He's charged with the murders of the four men plus 22 other offenses against seven other victims.
And that's just the ones that we know about.
Right.
We hear all the time, like whenever we cover a case that has anything to do with Grindr, like how many people don't come forward?
100%. So Jack's awesome sister, Donna, gives a statement to the press. She's standing outside the courthouse, and this goddamn queen says, that sick, twisted scumbag will never be able to hurt or destroy anyone else's family or life. Sick, twisted scumbag. Put it in the Louvre.
Hang it in the Louvre. I love it because, like, for so many years and so many decades, like, these murders like this would go unsolved because nobody was looking for these people. Like, they left their families and they were transient in their neighborhoods and nobody even noticed when they went missing. Like, it's so nice and affirming to see, like, we live in a world where friends are coming out of the woodwork and doing the work. And then the family is pushing to get things done.
And how many times have we seen that where it's like the family and the friends saying, like, no, we care.
Yes.
You don't care. We care.
Yes.
Like, they thought we didn't care, but we always cared. We were always waiting for that phone call, like the Fox Hollow murders I'm thinking about.
Yes.
Like, so many, we see this time and time and time again where the families are, like, begging.
Yeah, the Gacy murders, you know? Like, we see it all the time. And so it ends with, like, a list of the victims. It was Anthony Walgate, age 23, Gabriel Kovari, age 22, Daniel Whitworth, age 21, Jack Taylor, age 25.
And also in December of 2021, there's an inquest because at least three of the four murders could have been prevented.
Yes.
But the cops were willfully ignorant and bigoted. They don't make it very clear, but like the records show that the cops were in the wrong here.
Yeah, and it says as of May 2024, eight Metropolitan Police officers were being investigated for gross misconduct and possible breaches of professional standards in the Stephen Port inquiry.
None of the officers under investigation are featured in this program.
Shocking.
I mean, come on.
my God, girl, we did the Grindr killer. We got to hear that lady say twink and then describe what it is.
And a coot.
And a coot. Bald as a coot, I believe she said.
Give it 10 years, that'll be a category. I'm a coot.
Fam, don't forget to check us out on our Facebook page. Don't forget to follow us on all the socials. Go watch our YouTube. We're at over 500,000 subscribers.
Yep.
That's it. We love you.
Well, you want to know what we're doing next?
Oh, what are we doing
next? It's big, huge news. We're doing The Crash on Netflix, baby.
Oh, my stars.
And I'm going to tell you right now, everyone, yep. I know you're freaking out. The day our episode of The Crash drops on Patreon, I'm going to do an after party telling you and Patrick all of the things that, quote, Netflix left out, everything that's come out since it came yes. out, the court records, the Mean Girl Murders episode, the Killer Cases episode. We're going through it.
It's all going to be there. So we're going to, the episode of The Crash and that after party come out on the same day.
We're talking about it all, and then I'm never talking about this little bitch again.
What about Kendra?
Fuck Kendra. Oh, from unknown number? We'll get to it when you hear the episode.
We love you, fam.
We love you. Stay safe, please.
Bye.
Happy Pride, except for the cops.
Yeah.
They're not invited. Everyone's invited except for them. Bye.
A car crash claimed two young lives and injured a third early yesterday morning.
This is the best friend group that I've ever had in my life.
We had just graduated high school. Dom and Kenzie.
I love you, baby.
They're such a duo.
I was Davion's best friend. And we are going to be unstoppable.
That split second changed all of our lives forever.